Christian lives is wisdom and understanding. It's really understanding who we are, what happened to us, and the remedial measures that God has put in place to bring us out of it. You said, I think so many people really don't understand what has happened and what God has done. When Adam fell, the scripture tells us, I'm just going to talk a little bit. We'll go to the book, but I'm just going to talk a little bit. When Adam fell, God withdrew his presence. Adam lived on some 900 some odd years. And God already, before he even set the thing into motion, because he knows the end from the beginning. When God writes history in advance, he knows exactly what's going to happen and exactly how it's going to play out. He already had the land that was the sacrifice before the foundation of the world. And the Lord already had it in his mind. See, he knew Adam was going to fall. He knew it was going to happen. Because he can look at it, because of who he is, God, and see exactly how it's going to play out. Well, when God withdrew his presence from Adam, and for all the human race, did a whole lot of things. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of the Old Testament account, because we just don't have enough time in an hour and a half. The Lord did provide for his people when he had Solomon to build the temple, and even before that. But by and large, he said, if you'll just face Jerusalem and pray, I'll hear you pray, and I'll answer your prayer. We have a much better covenant with the Lord today in the new covenant than they had in the old. The old was nothing wrong with it. It was very acceptable for the time that it was in place, but it was really a temporary expedient. It was only needful for it to be there for a short period of time until Christ should come, when the Father and the Son and the Spirit of the Father withdrew from man. Man was left in a terrible fix, and had been and has been pretty much for 6,000 years. Until 4,000 years ago, with the advent of Christ, he came to manifest that those remedial measures that were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. What he did was, instead of coming to be with us, as he was in the New Testament, you know, Emmanuel, what does Emmanuel mean? You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. Okay. All right. In the New Testament, though, the Lord came to put himself where? In us. Much better. Much better. The scripture refers to this in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 or thereabouts, as regeneration. See, Adam was generation, but when you receive again the Holy Spirit, you receive regeneration. Anybody ever read that? Anybody familiar with that? Let's look at that for just a minute. Anybody know what Titus says? And he's telling us that our salvation was not by anything that we did. Not by anything that we did. Beginning in verse 5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's nothing we did, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then he tells us how. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Lord literally comes to take up residence within those redeemed believers. He comes to take up residence within us. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, our Lord came to save us in many ways. He came to save us first by being the door, John 10, that we enter in, and we receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. God literally comes to live within us. Literally, somebody living in somebody. This is very important to get this down, because you have to understand that you have resources now that you didn't have before, if this indeed has happened to you.
And you indeed believe it happened to you.
Well, that's right. You, for it to have in fact happened to you, you've got to believe.
Right.
You've got to believe. You've got to understand that God is, if you are indeed regenerate in the Holy Spirit, then God is living in you. Okay, well, the thing we want to find out is, what is he doing in there? You see, it's really important for us to know what he's doing in there. What this somebody that's living in somebody is doing. Well, I'm going to tell you, he's not doing anything until we come to understand why he's there and what he wants to do for us. How much does the Lord want to do for us?
All things.
Everything. He wants to do everything for us. He says he died for us 2,000 years ago so that even now he can give himself to us so that we can now, right now, no waiting, live the abundant life that he died to provide. Okay, and this is so important to understand this, because if you don't understand this, you'll never, ever enter into the abundant life that Christ provides for us. It's vitally important to understand this. Well, if you're regenerate, and you genuinely do have the Holy Spirit living in you, you need to understand something. Turn back a little bit to the left and go back to, go to the right and go to 1 John chapter 4. Just look at verse 4. We read this in context a lot, but I want to just pick out a tiny little bit to get you to help you to maybe help solidify this. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Speaking of things above there. But because greater is he that is in you, he that is in the world. He that's in the world is greater than you, and he that is in you is greater than you. Where does that leave us?
At the bottom of the heap.
At the bottom of the heap. Only for a short time until you come into this understanding, until this wisdom is, until it becomes yours. You've got to understand that there's somebody in somebody, and you've got to understand what he's in there for. He's not in there to help you do anything. You see, this is really important to understand. Help is old covenant. What is new covenant?
To do.
To do. He says, I'm in there to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 reads, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It does not read, faithful is he that calleth you, who wants you to do it. It's really important to understand this. It's important to recognize the truth of Galatians 6 and 3.
For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
A whole lot of deceived folks in the world, because there's a whole lot of people that think they're something. I mean, there really is. You know, the adversary has got us all pumped up to think that we're really something. You know, man swaggers across this planet like he's God. He's not. He's not God. God is God.
So how's right? So the Old Testament Israelite, his help came through the sacrifice that they brought to the high priest.
That's right. To the priests.
So really, of themselves, they had nothing.
Amen.
Whereas us today, because of where Christ lives.
That's right.
We have it all.
We have it all. Much better promises based on a much better covenant.
So they were really rendered helpless back then.
Absolutely. And a Christian is rendered helpless today if he continues in his babyhood. You see, if you don't go on and grow up into Christ through the process of the renewing of the mind, Romans 12:2, if you just remain a baby, you know, what do we think of, you know, every now and again you hear these reports on the news of somewhere, this little baby that's born just never grew. I mean, that's just pathetic.
Well, how about...
You know, we think that's just so sad. Well, how about us spiritually?
How about us being your terrible twos?
Yeah,
spiritually.
Just terribly twos spiritually for 75 years.
So you're not going to ever bind the strong man that way.
No, you're not going to ever bind the strong man that way. You see, the Lord is living in you. There's somebody in somebody right this minute. If you are indeed regenerate in the Holy Spirit, okay?
That's where the churches are made up of a bunch of terrible tumors.
Well, that's right. I like the way David is explaining. You know, we were talking about at the Thursday morning meeting a week or so ago. David was relating how so many of the creatures have characteristics of so many people. You look at so many people and you say, well, boy, he's just like a porcupine. You know, or she's just like a skunk. You know, there's all kinds of things, you know, that you can look at to see. There's, you know, the Lord has put it there. There are literally graphic pictures to relate words to us to understand a whole lot about the nature of different people apart from God. See, you can be regenerate in the Holy Spirit and still go on living in your carnal nature. You don't have to live in the divine nature. You don't. Because, you see, the Lord never, ever, 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 ever usurps your moral right to choose who is going to be the origin of your activity. Now, if this gets a little hazy to you, just stop me now. Because I'll get a little more elementary.
So you're saying you could be a regenerate spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So that means salvation will always be yours? You'll just won't have the maturity in that regenerate spirit?
There are a lot of ramifications to this. I'm going to keep it real elementary for right now, because I just want to basically want to just have us understand what God has done to set things right. What He's done to set things right is literally to give Himself to us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord Jesus referred to Himself as a paraclete, a comforter. He says, if I don't go away, the other one can't come. You know, so He had to go away. Where did He have to go? Where is the Lord Jesus right this minute? At the right hand of the Father. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result of that, on the day of Pentecost, the Father kept His promise, and what did He do? He sent the Comforter. He sent the other, and the Holy Spirit was given to men. Men then had the option, if they were properly prayed for and drawn by the Father, to be given to the Lord Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. So you see, you are not without power. But you see, it's just like if I'm a 50-year-old man and I win the lottery of $20 million and I only had a fourth grade education. I mean, how am I going to be able to intelligently administer my estate? I'm not. And what's going to happen to me? And there are a lot of people out there that will be quite willing to relieve me of my money. And see, if I don't know what to do to properly administer the estate that I've been given, then it's not going to be long before I'm flat broke again. Even though they pay that thing over 20 years, it still doesn't matter. I'm just saying that if I can't properly administer it, see, this is the same thing that we have to understand spiritually. If I cannot properly administer my spiritual estate, I'm no better than if I don't have the Holy Spirit living in me.
You know, Ray, I'm just looking at a verse that's saying exactly what you're saying so clearly, Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. And really 15, it says exactly what you're saying to the T. It says, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in craftiness, after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ.
So you see, I want you to understand, God, our Creator God, is a God of extreme intelligence. He is very intelligent. He is the epitome of intelligence. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 3, listen to this, 18. And following. In other words, coming to understand into the wisdom and understanding of what this is all about and how do you make it work? How do you employ this someone who's living in someone? Okay, this is what I really want us to come to understand. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to apprehend, as David says, and he's right, with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know. See, this is not just to believe. This is way beyond believing. This is knowing. What do you know when you know something? You know it. Okay, there's no doubt. I mean, you know it. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. In other words, don't try to reason all this out. Just listen to what God is saying. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So here again, somebody in somebody. You see, I can give Christ a little room down here and say, now I'm going to really go to work for you, and you can watch. And I'm going to do a good job. You think He's interested? He's not interested. He wants to have the place of ascendancy and complete preeminence in each one of us. You see, until we come to the place where we give him that, then he's not interested in us. I'll say it as David says it often, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, if I'm not agreeing with him, then I can't, he's not going to walk with me. Because he's not going to agree with me because I'm nothing. He's everything. Verse 19 again, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that works where? In us. See, if the God of immense and consummate intelligence could not do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could possibly ask or think, I wouldn't want him as my God. But he can, and he does. But you see, he wants us to have this abundant life. Well, folks, there's no way you're going to have it until you come to understand what you have to do to employ the Lord Jesus on your behalf so that he can begin and continue to show himself strong in your behalf. See, this is, Brother David has a wonderful testimony of how the Lord has shown himself strong in his behalf. In the birth of his children and in healing all kinds of things. The Lord is on tiptoe to do for us if we'll just simply ask him. Why does he say that we don't have?
Because we don't ask.
Because we don't ask.
That's not.
Because, that's exactly. Because we don't ask. And you see, the God of this world has got us so conditioned to not asking. I tell you, people just absolutely hate to ask. Even if they don't know, they'd rather just muddle on in ignorance than ask somebody. Well, I'll tell you, it is vitally important to your well-being to ask. Whether it sounds, doesn't matter if it sounds stupid or foolish to anybody else, just ask
the
question.
Unless you initiate the request, it won't be fulfilled.
It is imperative that we initiate the request, because he says you have not because you ask not. See, he's telling us already. Why? Because he knows our nature in our fallen condition. He knows we're pumped up. What has Satan used on us that he's used all down the centuries for 6,000 years? Pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. Those three things. I mean, he's got them down pat. And he knows how to twist them just right to hit you in your weak point, right when you're weakest, to bring you off. And then he says, there you are, and you'll go good. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to tell you, you ain't nothing. Well, you're not. Settle for it. You're not anything. But now, the Lord doesn't leave us there. Okay, that'd be terrible if he left us there. He doesn't leave us there. Because he tells us in Philippians 4:13 what?
We're sons.
Yeah, we are. But he says, I can do all things.
Through
myself? Is that what it says, through me?
Christ.
No, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, here's that one that's living in me, see? That one that's in me that's greater than he that's in the world. It's really important to understand this. The one that's greater than he that's in the world. If we are not enjoying all of the incredible blessings that God has come and the benefits, and they're just unending, and most people don't have any idea of the scope and how far-reaching and all-encompassing his blessings are, because we haven't really taken the time to understand what we're supposed to thank him for. You know, Robert was saying he didn't really think his wife's maybe very thankful. Well, the Lord tells us a lot of things about being thankful. But one of the most important things is he tells us that it's his will for us. Do you know that? I've heard people say, I've heard it all my... Oh, if I just knew God's will for my life. Well, yeah, that's true. It's important to know that when he tells you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells you, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's right. So if you're to give thanks in everything, what does everything leave out? It doesn't leave out anything. And it's just like Romans 8:28. It's a good parallel verse to go with that. All things work together for good. And see, most preachers stop right there, and all it does is become a superstition. You can't stop there. You got to take the whole verse. All things work together for good. Now here's who it's to. It's not to everybody. To those that love the Lord, number one, and number two, and are the called according to his purpose. See, it's vitally important to fall in love with Jesus. See, most people that haven't fallen in love with Jesus, they don't revere him and give him the place of preeminence in their lives. And it's imperative that we do this if we intend to enjoy richly all the things that he gives us all the time. It is imperative that we fall in love with him. I fell in love with him reading a book by Watchman Nee called Song of Songs, and it was his treatment of the Song of Solomon. And I literally fell, kiss him on the face, hug him, and love him. In love with Jesus Christ as a result of what the Lord did working through my spirit and teaching me through that particular book. Now, I can't say that that book was totally responsible because the Lord had led me down an incredible path of learning things. But it was the culmination of all of those things that found their climax in that book, where I really came to understand that he loved me so, and he wanted me to love him in an incredible way. And that's with all I have. That's with all the love that I have. Remember what the Lord asked one of the Pharisees. He says, what is the great commandment? Remember that?
To love my Lord.
Now, I want you to really think about this. Think about it. He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And I want you to think about something. If you're loving him with all, how much love you got left? And love your neighbor as yourself. You see, a lot of people love their neighbor for a lot of reasons. Well, he can lend me tools, or I can mooch on him, or he's rich, he's got a boat, I can go fishing with him. There's a lot of people love their neighbors for all kinds of reasons. But he says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, let me tell you, just something to think about. If you have really come to the place, if you let the Lord lead you there, where you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then what is your only true, legitimate love for your neighbor? To lead him to love God that way. With all of his heart, soul, and mind, and strength. That's my only legitimate love for any person that comes my way, is to lead them to fall in love with Jesus Christ. The Lord even says in Psalm 2, he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You need to get to the place. Anybody here when Bolivar was here a few months back? Bolivar gave us an excellent understanding on worship. He said that it's like a dog coming up to lick his master's hand. It's an excellent understanding of worship. And Brother David enlightened me on one that I hadn't heard. Worship is to kiss toward. To kiss toward. You say, well, these things, that looks foolish. Well, sure it does to this stupid world, this fallen creation. But see, almost everything that you're going to see that the Lord is calling us to do is going to look very foolish to this world. Very foolish indeed. And you say, well, I ain't going to do that. I look foolish like an old fool. Well, go ahead and be a fool.
Catholics kiss the Pope's ring.
Oh, yeah. And they kiss all them statues and stuff and the things that they do. It's really sad because there's so much misunderstanding and misinformation that is promulgated by religion that has absolutely nothing to do with the reality of Jesus Christ. Okay, I want us to continue now on this train of thought to really have wisdom and understanding about what this is all about and how to make it work. How to make it work. There's a secret that's been a mystery down all the ages. But see, now today, since Christ, it's an open secret to those who are really prepared to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love him honestly, from a pure heart. This is so important to understand. The Lord is gentle, he's kind, he's gracious, he's full of mercy. And he loves us. He's told us that. We all have heard John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him might not perish but have everlasting life. That's just incredible in and of itself. Yet so many people don't realize that God's watching. God's watching. Look at Matthew chapter 6. We read this in the context of prayer, I just want us to see a certain part and focus on that. Look at verse 6. 6:36. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee open." Is there any place the Father doesn't see you? Do you really believe that? I mean, but do you believe that to the extent that you see to it that what you do in secret is just as honest and pure as what you do in public? See, it's really important to understand what he's saying here. If you really believe the Father sees in secret, then we need to question ourselves about why do we do what we do in secret. Because your life in secret needs to be just as pure as your life in public. Where are you in secret? Where the Heavenly Father is looking in secret. You see, what you do in secret is who you really are. That's who you really are. That's where you really are.
When the Spirit of the Lord moves on us, what we are in Christ are different from whether we walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. So there again, as we're walking in the Spirit, what we really are, we're in the Spirit. We're not walking in the Spirit, we need to help our brother, whether it's by pressure or, you know, carrying a load. You know, Moses needed Aaron and Ur. He said, "Hold my hands up so we can, this war can be conquered." So even great Moses, a great man, but he needed his hands held up. But
that,
anyway.
That's true. You say, well, why was Moses great? There's only one reason. Because he knew God. Mm-hmm. So the only way you're going to be great is to know God. That's the only way.
Well, he was a... He was called of the Lord. He was obedient. Mm-hmm. He prayed a lot. He was on the mountaintop. He kept a lot in prayer. If God wanted everybody so perfect, he would have kept every mistake out of the old. He didn't do that. He put every mistake in man to show us that God is greater than our flesh. He's much greater. If the old patriarchs made mistakes, God is still greater.
Oh, absolutely.
He's still greater.
Absolutely.
Then your flesh, to know, get up again, dust yourself off, get back into the Spirit, and go forward.
But he really didn't come for us to make mistakes. He came help us be overcomers.
Oh.
You know, he came for us to bear fruit, which is what? The fruit of Christ.
Amen.
And there's no mistakes in the fruit of Christ.
No, there's not.
So, he does forgive our mistakes, but that's not what he came for. You know, he came...
And I'm glad.
And I am too.
Yeah. Amen. We should bear fruit or
I'm
he's
glad
not down
he
the tree.
I'm glad that he continues to forgive us. You know, the Lord revealed a lot about himself when he said what he said to Peter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter thought he was being very magnanimous when he says, well, now, how many times should we forgive a brother? 7 times. You know, the Lord said... 70 times. See, the Lord was just stunned Peter, but the Lord was really revealing something about himself. But this is how he forgives us. You know, if we'll just simply come and confess, what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he just wipes it all out again. Okay.
So it sounds like forgiveness is just a means to an end, and the end being cleansing us of all unrighteousness. You have to be forgiven until you're cleansed.
That's right.
When you're cleansed, you don't need forgiveness anymore.
Well, it's like the Lord wants to bring us out to pure gold.
That's right. That's his point.
And the whole issue is to understand that to arrive at 99.99 fine pure gold, that gold has got to go through the smelt 7 times. In other words, you got to be. Your life's got to heat up. In other words, you got to understand. Well, that's why 1 Peter 4:12 says it the way it says it. It says, "Then brothers, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that's to try you, as though some strange thing has happened." See, if the Lord isn't chastising you as a son, and he calls you, what does he call you?
But then that trial comes.
He calls you illegitimate. He calls you a bastard.
Yeah. And that trial can come in any form?
All kinds of forms. It can take all kinds of shapes. But see, the one that is in you is greater than the one that's in the world.
But it's your ignorance that will not allow you
to
overcome.
It's your fourth grade education spiritually that is keeping you from administering your proper spiritual estate so that you don't have to stay down there. See? And the Lord says, study to show yourself approved unto God.
Is that Hosea 4 we said this morning?
Hosea 4 is, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, that's very true. We are. We're utterly destroyed. In other words, we are, every step we take is perilous if we don't know and understand and have the wisdom of what this book has to say.
He said, don't be like the Gentiles who are alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance.
That's right. That's right. The ignorance that's in them. And like I say, you can have had a genuine experience with the Holy Spirit and have received the Holy Spirit, but still be totally ignorant of the rights that are now yours. How are you going to use, I don't mean that in a bad way, but how are you going to use the Holy Spirit to accomplish what you need accomplished if you don't know what to do? If you don't know what to do, you're not. You won't do it. This is another reason the Lord says pray without ceasing. I think I shared this morning or the other day or something. There are many, many wonderful things that come as a result of that. But one of the things that comes is the fact that you get used to praying. You get in the habit of praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I think I shared this with David. Was it this morning I told you when I was about the boxes were falling and I was going through a tight place in the store?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just, and normally I would have cursed or something, you know, if I'd been years back, you know, oh hell, here we go, you know, and fall to the floor. But I didn't do that. I tripped, I fell off, some boxes off, a whole gang of stuff started to fall. And I just said, Lord, save me. Well, I'm telling you, the angel just pushed me right straight back up. The boxes went right back where they were supposed to be. Nothing fell. But you see, if you're not in the habit of doing that, if you're just in the habit of living in the natural, then your response will be, who knows what? Something we learn from the rudiments of this world and the traditions of the fathers. Not something we learn from this book.
It's the rudiments of this world.
It's the rudiments of this world and the traditions of your fathers. You see, men, children learn from their fathers because the Bible tells us that the apple of the child's eye is the father.